If you're able, please stand with me as I read Luke 2:8-14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, welcome to Grace Harvest Church. I'm glad each one of you are here today to hear God's word, to sing with us, and to worship Jesus and make much of him and his name. Amen. And it's a fun thing to be able to do each week. Wow. I mean, did you hear that text today? One of the best eyewitness accounts of what Christmas is all about from the eyewitness account of some grubby old shepherds out in the field. Amen. I titled today's sermon, "Good News to the Lowly." Good news to the lowly. Our Advent season has been based in God's Word, in His Holy Scriptures, and it's centered some on the composition of Handel's Messiah. Our book that we handed out for the Advent season, if you're reading those Advent devotionals every day, was called Unto Us. If you read the foreword of it, it mentions that it's based in the scriptures that are sung in Handel's Messiah. The progression of these scriptures takes us from the promises of the prophets of the coming Messiah to their fulfillment here in Luke chapter 2, where the arrival of the promised Messiah, the Advent, arrives in Jesus and his birth. Today we'll look at this wondrous announcement, the long-awaited hope that has now arrived in the Christ child. We sing songs like, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." We focus on that little town of Bethlehem and the announcement from angels on high to lowly shepherds who were filled with great fear. The shepherds were so afraid that the old King James Version said, "sore afraid." Pretty amazing experience they had. They were filled with great fear. The shepherds are the good news to the lowly, that example. Today, let's look at this good news to the lowly. Humble shepherds chosen to hear this announcement of good news out of everybody that the good news could have come to, comes in the darkness and night to some camping out shepherds in an open field. What a wonder, what an amazing display of who God is and who the good news is for. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Luke is the only gospel that records this wondrous event of the shepherds and angels. Why these shepherds? Luke's making a statement here. Luke had gone out to get eyewitness accounts. He's like a historian digging, and he starts this out in Luke 1 that there's this person, Theophilus, that he's going out to find these stories of Jesus and get them accurate and right to give this Greek the concrete evidence of who Jesus is. And he's found these shepherds and he's gotten their testimony and he's writing about it here. And his theme is throughout this whole book, from the beginning to the end, is that the humiliation of the proud and the exaltation of the humble. And this story is a part of that whole gospel of Luke. That's why he appears to the shepherds, because they're among the lowest class in society at the time of Jesus' birth. They were despised and considered untrustworthy. Their testimony was not admitted in court at the time of Jesus' birth. Who would we see that as maybe today? Maybe like migrant workers today coming in from another country, requiring a lot of laborious work in the heat of day and dirty work, you know, outside that nobody else wants to do, outdoor work in fields. Maybe something like that today. That's how the shepherds were viewed. In our book, Unto Us, on page 88, one of Luke's, he brings this out, that this theme of Luke is of the humiliation of the proud and the exaltation of the humble. And he lists several things in the book that if you go through and read can stir this idea of what Luke is trying to do here by mentioning the shepherds and giving their eyewitness account of the birth of Jesus. He mentions Mary's Magnificat that Mary read to us this morning. He mentions that in that, what she is saying is, in verse 52 of Luke chapter 1, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones. See the mighty coming down? And exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. You hear that? You hear her praise to God, like loving the way God does things. Yeah. You bring the mighty down and you lift the low up. I love you, God, because that's what you're doing with me. That's what she started it. Your eyes are and mind are full of the humble. Me, your humble servant, a nobody in a nobody town of Nazareth, you have come to me. Your mind is on the humble. You know, I mean, it's just, it's a song. If you haven't heard this song of Mary, it's rooted in the song of Hannah. So this theme isn't just a theme of Luke's. It's a theme throughout Scripture. And if you remember this man, Elkanah, in 1 Samuel, you see that he's married to this woman named Hannah, and she's barren and has no children, and she prays to the Lord, and the Lord blesses her with this child that she names Samuel, this gift from God. And she says this, sings this song, and it's very much goes right along with Mary's song. You can see Mary digging into her song and making this song her own. Hannah's Magnificat would say in verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, he raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needs from the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. You see this theme throughout Scripture of God taking those in high places and bringing them down, and those in low places and lifting them up. Wow. God lifts the needy from the ash heap. That's pretty low. And to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor, that's pretty high. In verse 4, she said, "The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength." That's a good word to the lowly, to the feeble, to the weak. Maybe not so good news to the mighty. This is great. It's a great, great, great good news. We see that these stories in Luke come, this good news comes to the shepherd in a field. They're chosen to go see the baby born who is Christ the Lord. And they find him, as the angel said, lying in a lowly animal feeding trough wrapped in swaddling cloths. Luke goes on to record this life of Jesus. But along the way, he mentions all these other stories. They're stories of the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He takes these low people, these hated people, and he shows how they're exalted by Jesus and lifted up. In Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, we see, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him." And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." They didn't like the ways of God. They did not like the humble being exalted to the place at the table. Luke records Jesus as the ultimate example of humbling himself and dying for lowly sinners. He dies a criminal's death on a cross. And at the greatest point of humiliation, dying on the cross, yet 3 days later, being exalted to the highest position imaginable at God's right hand, not just to rule over Israel and be the king of the Jews, but not just to rule over all the known Roman Empire at the time, but as our book unto us said, to rule over the cosmos. Jesus exalted to the highest place. Luke's theme is that. It's the humiliation of the proud and the exaltation of the humble. And he points to Jesus as the ultimate example of that. We sing about little insignificant towns. O little town of Bethlehem. Where meek souls will receive him still to this day. It is still to the meek that receive him. That's where Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Enter in, Jesus. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, "Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." You hear that prayer, you hear that plea of the humble. Are you lowly? Can you hear the angels' great tidings of good news today? Are you like the shepherds? Can you perceive by any revelation the baby Jesus, that he is our Savior and Lord, God with us, Emmanuel? Do we even know what our greatest need is? Do you know what your greatest need is? It is to overcome sin. Do you know what the greatest gift given is? Jesus, the one who overcame sin for us. The only way to overcome sin is for Jesus to be born in your heart. Meek souls will receive him in still. Have you received by faith the gift God has given to your greatest need? Jesus Christ, the victor over sin. Have you believed this good news and lived by it like your life depends on it? Because it does. Shepherds, along with the lowly, the poor, the downcast, the outcast, the lowest classes of society, are the ones who rejoice and that see this good news of great joy. Are you amongst them? Do you have ears to hear? Is your heart broken and contrite? For this is the one that God looks to. This is the good news to the lowly. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 27, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Rejoice in that, lowly. The good news is for you. This is the message of Christmas. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And this is who the good news came to. From the highest heaven to the lowest on the earth, not in a great temple, not even in a house, not even in a home, but out in an open field to lowly shepherds. Micah Yoder, in his sermon last week, thank you, Micah, for preaching for me last week. In his sermon, he pointed to the Sermon on the Mount. Micah mentioned that he had memorized the Sermon on the Mount in his youth. That means he memorized Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. Pretty good feat for us today. We don't do much memorization of God's word. But he mentioned and pointed us to the Sermon on the Mount. It begins with Jesus teaching about those who are blessed. And it's quite shocking. The word blessed is interesting. Tim Mackey in the Bible Project really broke down the Sermon on the Mount. He began with that word blessed, translated from the Greek word makarios, meaning experiencing God's favor and abundance, essentially signifying the good life. It describes someone who's living and experiencing that life that's truly fortunate and privileged from God. So who's living this good life? Who's living this good life, experiencing God's favor and abundance? Who's blessed in Jesus' eyes? The poor. The poor in spirit. Those who humbly recognize their need for God. The lowly. Those who know they are powerless, they're unimportant in this world. The good life that they're experiencing, God's favor. Who are those? They're those who are grieving, who are mourning, the meek, the hunger and thirsting for righteousness, the merciful, the pure of heart, the peacemakers, those persecuted and who are suffering insult. These are the ones who are experiencing the good news of the kingdom. These lowly ones. That had to be shocking. Man, you know what was shocking to the disciples when they saw the rich young ruler? You know, and they said, look at that guy, he's blessed all over the place. He's rich, he's young, and he's a ruler. He's achieved it all. He's got it all, Jesus. He's blessed of God. He's fortunate. He's got all your blessings, Jesus says. Impossible for him to even enter the kingdom. Well, if he hasn't even entered, who can enter? Jesus said, it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom. But all things are possible with God. Even that guy might squeeze in. Who knows? By the mercy of God. But the message of the good news is for the lowly, the humble. Get on board, disciples. This is how God works. Rejoice in it. He goes to shepherds in the field that are going about their boring, ordinary life, the toil of life. But they're going about it faithfully. And as they're going about it faithfully, they know in their hard, mostly miserable, rejected, outcast lives knowing how people view them, seeing the looks. They have a hope. They have a hope in something greater. They have a deep longing in their heart that Advent tries to create and begin with hope. A hope that cannot be satisfied by all the riches in this world, but only in Mashiach, only in Messiah. And they're longing for that world. They're longing for that one to come like the rich aren't, because they have their hope wholly in Him. The good life will be experienced by them, and God's favor will descend on them in that field, because they're meek and they're lowly and they're hungering and thirsting for good news of great joy. And they know it is only contained in an everlasting light, and that everlasting light appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they know the world could never give that. Are you a meek soul where Christ can enter in? Or are you a prideful, bitter, arrogant soul that only yourself can enter in? Timothy says, 2 Timothy 3, Paul warns Timothy, in the last days, times will get really difficult. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant. That's the core tone of the last days. Me, myself, and I, people. Verse 4 says, swollen with conceit. This looks really bad, and we can be people who are focused on, oh yeah, the world is really bad. We can dwell on that. We can dwell on how bad and evil the world is, and that bad has come into the world. Or we can focus on the good that God has sent in the world. Yes, we acknowledge the world is evil, and it always has been. But we focus on the good that God has sent into the world. And that's what Paul instructs Timothy to do. In verse 14, he says, of this same chapter, 2 Timothy 3, he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Continue in it. Remember it. Knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make you wise for salvation. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, Timothy, so that you, the man of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Stick with the word. Stick with the word of the gospel. Stick with the hope in the sacred writings that you've placed your life upon. Place your hope in God's word that makes you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. Place your faith in Christ. Don't forget it. Continue to walk humbly with your God, and let His word equip you for every good work. Amen, saints? In the history of Handel's Messiah, I got to listen with Teresa, because she was listening to one of her favorite podcasts. Podcasts are really popular today. Who would have thought? But one of her favorite podcasts is called The Bulletin. And on December 10th, episode 130, they had Charlie King on. He had written a book called Every Valley. He wrote it during kind of COVID in 2020, and as him and his wife were listening to Handel's Messiah that year and everybody was locked down, when they heard the first chorus of Handel's Messiah and they heard that long interlude of just beautiful music, and then they heard the soloist come on singing the scripture that Rifle preached so well from in Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people. And they just started bawling. They talked about what would it be like if right off the bat, no matter what we were going through in our life, no matter what we were facing, if we knew from the outset everything was going to turn out all right. What if we knew that from the beginning? Comfort. Comfort my people. God's in charge. He's going to work it all out. What if you knew that? What if that was the message of good news to you from the outset? Comfort. Comfort. I wish I could baritone sing it out like they do in Handel's Messiah. Those are the first words. Everything's going to be all right, Israel. All your hopes and fears of all the years are going to be stilled in him tonight. What if you knew that? I mean, really knew it. Not just mental assent to it, but lived like it was true. Wow. Handel's Messiah. This podcast, listening to it, could be a good start to pique your interest if you've never heard it. Written by George Friedrich Handel, a German-British composer. He composed the music to it, but it is equally or more so, they bring out in the podcast, that it's Jenin's Messiah. The title of it's just called Messiah, but we call it Handel's Messiah because he wrote the music to it. But what they're saying is it's Jenin's Messiah. Who is he? He wrote the libretto. I learned a lot about music as I studied this. What the heck is a libretto? Well, it's all the words. It's the whole story. He wrote the whole story. And what Charles Jenin's wrote was nothing but a series of scriptures. It's one scripture after another. There's no other story intermixed. It's just one story of scripture, another story of scripture, singing out. And Jenin's had some hardships. The title of Charlie King's books called Every Valley, and then if you want to know what that means, in parentheses, the longer title. They don't never let you title things real long. I always want to title real long, and my title was like 10 words long, and Teresa was like, that's too long. Nobody would allow a title that long. So I said, well, how about The Good News to the Lowly? Yes. I limit good news. I didn't put the good news to the lonely. I got it down to 5. That was accepted, approved by the editor. Well, for Charlie King, his book got titled down to 2 words, which is Every Valley. Makes your mind start thinking. Scripture, every valley shall be lifted up, huh? On Rifle? That's what Rifle preached on Isaiah 40. Every valley, the low being lifted up. So his longer version, right after Every Valley on the cover of his book, is The Desperate Lives and Troubled Times That Made Handel's Messiah. That's what the book's really about. The desperate lives and troubled times that made Handel's Messiah. You see, Jenin's had hardships in his life. He had a brother that committed suicide, and Jenin's suffered from what in those days was called the HYP, H-Y-P. It's severe depression. We might call it bipolar. He would have times of manic where he'd accomplish great, amazing work, and then he'd have times of debilitating, extreme lows where he could do nothing, paralyzed physically, emotionally, mentally. Jenin's wrote Messiah with the idea, if I had to find a pathway out of this darkness of severe depression, through the light of Scripture, what path would I take? And that's how he wrote the scriptures. A path through scripture and the light of scripture out of his depression. It's a collection of over 81 Bible verses from 14 different books of the Bible, all about Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God. And it covers his whole birth, which we celebrate now mostly at Christmas, but it covered his death, Isaiah 53, the longing, and a lot about the resurrection. It was generally first written more as an Easter celebration of resurrection. goes all through the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. Amazing song. And we all love, if anyone's heard it, the Hallelujah chorus. Amen. Come on, you worshipers. You know it. Our book unto us has taken us on this journey through scriptures. Rifle Solace, I want to thank you, brother. Good preaching. Bob Wilhelm, thank you, Bob, for your preaching for me. And Micah Yoder's not here this morning. They're already on their Christmas journey visiting family. But I thank each one of you. I love Rifle preaching on Isaiah 40, that comfort my people. I love that verse 4, every valley shall be lifted up. I love Malachi 3:2 that Bob Wilhelm used and broke down so well and opened up for us. We covered verses 1 through 3, but verse 2 in Malachi says, but who can endure the day of his coming? I mean, it's good news, right? But who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. So Handel's Messiah covers this scripture. After Rifle scriptures in Isaiah, and we get to this Malachi scriptures. So Messiah will come, and it appears he will clean house. Jesus is coming with fire. Merry Christmas! Is that good news? Amen. Jesus is coming with fire? Merry Christmas? Malachi 3:2, refiner's fire. Bob, you know, had this great, interesting story of being in high school and getting to work around a refiner's fire. I mean, what a great scripture to have. And having grown up in high school in your early pre-undergraduate college days, working around a refiner's fire. Bob brought out that he worked for this publishing company, and these large machines processed bars of metal to form the type, and they would have these little scraps of metal left over. His job was to scrape them up. Do I got this all right, Bob? So far? Pretty good? Yeah, I got a thumbs up. He would go down into the basement, place them in a small furnace, which was superheated, the metal, put it back into liquid form. Bob's job was to scrape the dross off of the top, the contaminants that rose to the top in the extreme heat of this metal, this molten metal, and pour it into molds to create new and purified bars. Wow. Is that good news? Jesus is coming as a fire. Merry Christmas. He's going to heat up your life and scrape off the dross and make you new. That's good news. And it sure is good news for the lowly that know they got impurities. And this person's coming as a hot fire that's going to burn those impurities off and scrape them off the top and make them new like they were originally created to be and to shine that light once again. See, lowly people know. They know. They're out there in the dirt of the field. They know how people look at them. And they go, yep, I am dirty. And I'm filthy. And I can't ever take a shower or a bath. And I stink. And nobody wants to be around me. I look for a Messiah who's going to come like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Give me clothes bleached like Clorox white and put them on me. And I'm going to be cleaned and the dross is going to be scraped off. Yeah, this is some good news to the lowly. Thank you, Bob. It's good news. I mean, these sermons were great. They were rooted in Scripture. Fear not. For I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. See, you need a Savior. What do I need to be saved from? I'm young and rich and have it all. I'm a ruler, you know. But the lowly know they need a Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? And Micah Yoder went into this for me, and Handel's Messiah in Isaiah 9, 2 and 61 through 3. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. See, Jennings was looking for that pathway in Scripture to lead out of his darkness into that light, the true light that's found only in Jesus. He's pointing to the Messiah as his only hope out of this darkness. You get to Isaiah 61, arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Yoder preached on this, and he showed that that fulfillment is in Christ, that Jesus is the light of the world. And he pointed to Revelation 21 in the end, that in that city there will be no need of the sun or moon to shine, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. But you can read about that in Isaiah 60. In this arise and shine, for your light has come chapter, if you just keep reading, Isaiah said that 700 years before the birth of Christ. He said, the sun shall be no more your light by day, nor brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. You see where John the Revelator is getting this from? Deeply rooted in Isaiah. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one, come on, Isaiah, bring it. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. It is time. I will hasten it. See, this is something God's doing, and no one can stop it. He's taking the smallest one, making them great. He's taking the least of them and making them mighty. No one can stop it. The Lord will hasten it. He'll go to shepherds and give them the great good news of great joy, and he will rejoice in it. And those of humble estate will rejoice in it, and they will rejoice in the way God does things. They'll love it, just like Jesus did in Matthew. I praise you, Jesus said, Matthew 11, that you've revealed these things, not to wise, big, no, but to babes. He rejoiced in the way God revealed things. You see, we sing that, yes, we need a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Silent night, we sing. Holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight, right? Right in Scripture. Christ the Savior is born. We need that Savior. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus Lord at thy birth. That's revelatory. You got to get that. Jesus Lord. See, that's what this scripture's saying. Christ the Lord. Now, it was common to say the anointed, which is what Christ means. Messiah means the anointed one of the Lord. The anointed of the Lord. But this doesn't say this. This says Christ, comma, the Lord, God, who has now become man, fitting perfectly with what John said in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word, emphatic, was God. Can't change it, Jehovah's Witnesses. You can't say, oh, God, no way. The Greek is implicit there. The Word was God. And then it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Christmas story. That's what it's about. It's about the God-man. It is him who is our Savior and who is Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. It's important. Born Christ the Lord. And the angels said to them, fear not. For behold, we bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is important. Christ the Lord. He closes with all the heavenly host appearing, singing, this multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Luke 2:14. And on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The question is, who is God pleased with? If you're reading Luke. Who is God pleased with? As we continue to read Luke, and we get into chapter 3, the next chapter, we see who God is pleased with. verse 21 of chapter 3. Now when all the people were baptized, John the Baptist is baptizing, when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him, Jesus, in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, as clear as can be. You can read about it, hear it. Eyewitnesses heard it. You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. That's who God's pleased with. The son he sent is pleased with Jesus. Completely pleased with him. Jesus is obedient then. He was obedient through his life. As Dolores read to us in Philippians 2, he was obedient to the point of death, to the point of death on a cross. His life was one with the Father, fully and obedient, pleasing God. That's who pleases God, the perfectly obedient. And the only one who's done that is Jesus. He's the one with whom God is well pleased. He said it. We spent a big part of our year last year studying Hebrews. And when we got to Hebrews 11, we found out how we also can please God. Hebrews 11:6 said, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." You will never please God. Only Jesus pleases God. And only your faith in him will you ever please God. Trust in him. All out, lowly, humble. I'm desperate. I have no other recourse but to believe in your son, Jesus, and receive him and rejoice in him and let him change my life. I turn from my sin and I believe in you. This and only this pleases God. And without it, it is impossible to please him. The shepherds returned in Luke 2:20, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So as we proclaim this good news, the good news is that for unto us a child has been born. Not anything good that we have done, but this child that is born will be our Savior. He is our only hope. He is the Messiah, the long-awaited hope of all the promises and all of the prophets. And all of the law, everything is fulfilled in him. And here's what the word is to you. Believe. Put your faith in him. Put your childlike trust in him and rejoice along with the lowly and desperate who have no other way out but in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is good news. This is good news to the lowly. Are you one of the lowly ones? If so, you're invited to take communion with us and sing in this closing song of praise like the shepherds did. They went out and returned glorifying and praising God. Have you heard something today that is worth glorifying and praising him for today in his word? Let's sing "Joy to the World." The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King, and let every heart prepare him room. Amen. We're going to invite you to come up and receive one of these cups. And there's actually two cups there. And in the top is the juice and in the bottom is the bread. And if you'll return to your seat, we'll pray over them and take them together. And if you've put your trust in Jesus, please come. we pause and pray, and they can be very significant, especially when you have faith. And I just pray we mix this time of communion with faith, trusting in the one that these symbols represent, the bread representing the body of Christ, and the grape juice, the fruit of the vine, representing the blood of Christ. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks to the Father for it. Thank you, Father, for the bread. And Jesus said, "This is my body, take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of this bread together and remember Jesus and his body offered up for us. In like manner, he took the cup, said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, given for you for the remission of sins. Take and drink of it. And when you do, remember my death until I come again." Let us partake of the cup together. Thank you, Father. You gave the greatest gift at Christmas. You gave us Jesus, your one and only Son. We thank you, Jesus, for you willingly came down from heaven and descended, came incarnate, the Word made flesh, and dwelt among us. You've given us eyes to behold your glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness. Thank you for offering up your body and shedding your blood for sinners like me, these gathered with me today. Thank you, Jesus. Let our hearts rejoice in the good news. Let us rejoice no matter what we're going through, knowing you got it all in your hands. Comfort our hearts. Let us, no matter what we're going through, rejoice right now and sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. worship team has been magnificent. It's been glorious. Thank you for leading us in worship. Please receive this blessing. You're blessed in Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Go out and be a light into this dark world and love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love one another.